Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, this evening we have with us one of my favorite guests. His name is Chris Pinto. And it was, about a year ago that Chris released his first video. It was called Megiddo 1, The March to Armageddon. It was a gripping 2-hour and 25-minute a video presentation of what's going on in the world today, the plan for the Third World War, the First World War, the Second World War, the Third World War, and where we're hurting from a spiritual point of view. Because if you look at things purely from a political point of view, you have no idea what's going on. If you look at things historically, you don't understand. This has nothing to do with ideology or culture. There is a spiritual battle going on. Well, the Megiddo 1 was a wonderful video, but now we've come out with Megiddo 2, and this is even better. It's 3 gripping hours of beautiful graphics and beautiful clips and some of the most amazing footage you've ever seen. The story is basically the story we keep trying to get out, that we're involved in this spiritual battle, and there really are people there who want to kill off most of the world's population, and Chris does a wonderful job in simply quoting what they have said, and we have the original quotations. These people are deadly, deadly serious. Chris, thank you so very much for being with us this evening here at Radio Liberty.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me again. God bless you.
Well, why don't you just tell our listeners who don't know who you are a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get on into Megiddo 2.
Well, I've been an artist most all of my life, and into writing and acting and producing and directing and this kind of thing. And I did it at just as an independent filmmaker for a number of years, but pursuing secular work, work that God would in time show me was very selfish and very vain. At one point about 7 years ago, the Lord turned me away from all of that. I met the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved out from that old lifestyle, and then set about trying to figure out what God wanted me to do. And so spent a couple of years stumbling around as a Christian, reading my Bible and trying to learn the things of God more abundantly. At one point was introduced to this really fascinating realm of Bible prophecy through a video called Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age Revolution. And it was done by Pastor Joe Schimmel, whom we both know. Pastor Joe was in this video talking about the music industry and how the music industry is working in conjunction with prophetic events to bring the world together into this one world empire.
All right, hold that thought there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Chris Pinto. We're talking about his new video. It's called Megiddo 2. Chris is saying that he had seen this wonderful video. Incidentally, we do carry it. It's called Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age. And, of course, it features Pastor Joe Schimmel talking about really what's going on in the world today and how music plays such an important part in changing our society. And what you must understand is there is a demonic realm, and many of the people within the music industry have sold their souls to the devil. Now, Joe Schimmel did put out other videos we carry. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3, the 4, or the 10-hour version of that. We have all of those, as well as his The Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age. But what people do not understand is that there is another realm out there. There is a demonic realm. There's a spiritual realm. And you can tap into that But if you do, of course, it's at the you endanger your eternal salvation. And this is what witches, where witches get their power, where Satanists get their power, where Luciferians get their power, where the leaders of Masonry, yes, and the leaders of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission, Skull and Bones, and Theosophists and Rosicrucians, they all, of course, tap into or try to tap into this other realm. So you pick up the story there, Chris.
Well, I saw this, this initial presentation. It was the first one that Pastor Joe had put out on video. And he talks about the larger issues. You know, he talks about the music industry, but he talks about this New Age movement and this New World Order, this great gathering that's happening, as these spirits are going forth to gather the kings of the earth and all the world together for that great day of God Almighty, called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. It was the first time I'd really seen, I mean, I knew a lot of these scriptures, but it was the first time I'd seen them brought into modern times and somebody explain that these things are happening. Of course, Pastor Joe talks about how it pertains to the music industry, but he made it very clear that this great gathering, this great unification movement was happening in politics, happening in the entertainment industry, happening in world religion, and so on. And so I guess from that point forward, I began researching all of those other elements. You know, how is it affecting politics? How is it affecting world religion? How is it affecting our daily lives and so on? And just set about doing research and just felt compelled by God to turn that research into a documentary, which in time became a documentary series that I'm still developing.
But, hold that thought right there.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Chris Pinto. We're talking about his brand new video, Megiddo 2, and where he, of course, does in this fascinating documentary fashion bring out this entire story of the world from a spiritual point of view, starting at the Garden of Eden, and, of course, to right where we are today. I mean, if you look at see what's going on in the world today, I mean, how do you really understand why we're in the Middle East fighting a war there? We're there to bring democracy to a group of people who never asked for democracy. Well, wasn't that the reason we went into World War I, to make the world safer democracy? And did we make the world safer democracy in 1917 and 1918? Do you really think that we're going to make the world safer democracy in the year 2005 and 2006? Are we over there in the Middle East for an entirely different reason than the American people are being told? Are we being lied to like we were in Vietnam? We went into Vietnam because of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, but it never occurred. We're told we were fighting communism, and we were trying to stop the spread of communism, and yet all during the Vietnam War, we financed Russia, which is financing the North Vietnamese, so that we could actually keep the war going for 10 long, bloody, horrible years. And the purpose, of course, was never to defeat communism, but to change America. And if you doubt that, you read their publications, Foreign Affairs Magazine, January 1967, lead article, Big George Bundy, Council on Foreign Relations, Skull and Bones, National Security Advisor, the man who got us involved into Vietnam, and he tells you the road forward at home is not by retreat in Vietnam. The road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam. If we were to pull out of Vietnam in 1967, why, there'd be strong reaction against our domestic programs. It was all about changing America. And just as what's going on today is changing America, but how are we changing America? Well, Chris does a magnificent job, really, as you watch this video, and you begin to understand the spiritual forces which are working behind the scenes. So, Chris, pick up the story from there.
Well, I got into getting into a lot of this research led me into ultimately putting together Megiddo Part 1, which I guess if I had to give the big overview, Megiddo Part 1 is about the one world government that's prophesied in the Bible, and we explain in Part 1 where the Bible talks about this world government. And then we spend a lot of time explaining the history of this drive for a world government, beginning back in Bavaria. Of course, you could go back centuries and centuries, but we we mark a starting point in Bavaria with a guy named Adam Weishaupt.
With the Illuminati, of course. That was in 1776, right.
And then we move it up forward through the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, and so on, and reveal a lot of modern world leaders and world minds, if you will, men like, you know, Einstein and Nehru and even Walter Cronkite, a lot of people that I think were very surprising to many people who weren't familiar with the research, that these people were all advocating some form of world government, ultimately called a New World Order.
Right. It's nothing really new about it at all. I mean, this is what Plato wrote about. This is what Aristotle wrote about. This is what Alexander the Great tried to accomplish, conquering the whole world. They were all part of the same movement, but they're carrying it fast forward to right where we are today. We are coming closer to the accomplishment of their goal than ever before. Both John Kerry and George Bush are dedicated globalists, dedicated to this idea of turning our sovereignty over to the United Nations, but we can't tell the American people that. They have to think that there's a difference between our two political parties at the top, or they wouldn't continue playing the little game. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, while part one deals with the world government, the Bible also prophesies that right along with that world government is going to be a world religion, a global religious organization that will ultimately be in submission to Satan and his beast, the Antichrist. And so part two, which is on the New Age movement, is, I think, really about the establishment of that global religion. It begins by introducing this new thought movement, which is to change the thinking or the thought process of the world at large and bringing them into this new understanding about who God is and about what their relationship is with God. And so in part two, we track the history of this new thought slash New Age movement. And we go back to early America, and we just show what the belief was of the early American fathers. In the New Age movement, the whole idea of the New Age is in contrast to the Old Age, and to New Agers, that belief is that the Old Age was Christianity. And so they're trying to bring about this New Age, where they have this new understanding that casts off Christianity, really, and adopts this whole new paradigm. And so we show how that movement began, how there were shadows of it, if you will, in early America, and then how it really began to explode in the 19th century through the modern spiritist movement. It's very, very clear that the movement began from the spirit realm, and that these spirit beings were communicating with people. We show, of course, the Fox sisters that many spiritists point to as the very beginning of the modern spirit movement that erupted and went on to affect people like Madame H.P. Blavatsky. One of the things that we talk about in the documentary is that Blavatsky was under orders, so she said, and even the House of Theosophy that she established to this day claims that she was under orders from these spirit beings, these spirit masters, to establish this organization that would give instruction, okay, on how to understand various spiritualistic phenomena. And in Blavatsky's writings, she talks about she talks about spiritual phenomena that is going on without the understanding of occult doctrine. Okay? And so she even makes mention of the rappings that occurred with the Fox sisters in 1848.
Well, I think, though, that you actually point out that it was very shortly after the pilgrims arrived here in the United States. We're talking about the pilgrims got here in 1620, and yet
right.
It was in the 1600s. There were already people here. They were trying to undermine the foundations of the Christian faith, which was really, of course, the common faith of all the various sects that were here. There were many very branches of Christianity, but there were already people even in the 1600s working to undermine those religious beliefs. And then, as you progress through the Fox sisters and others, this constant effort to change our society, but of course it's all coming from the spiritual realm, and these people were known as being into spiritualism, which a lot of people tend to laugh at. You know, they believe in ghosts and knocking and something goes bump in the night. But really, although some of them may very well have been frauds, some of them were really tapping into the other dimension, which is there, that you can contact with a Ouija board, but you do, of course, risking your eternal soul when you begin playing with this sort of thing. And that, of course, is the story of Joe Schimmel's wonderful videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, where you'll hear, at least in the 4- and 10-hour version, some of the people within the rock and roll industry doing great, making millions of dollars, top of their profession, admitting they sold their souls to the devil.
Yeah, that their power comes from Satan. And that's really what this whole spiritist movement is about. These are people who, you know, for various reasons, want to pursue whatever their lust is, whatever their ambition, whatever their selfish desire, have clearly rejected the God of the Bible, because we show in the documentary that that's an essential part of the message. It's not just embracing this new paradigm, it's about clearly making a statement, because they all of these spirit channelers, all of these, you know, spirit communicators, all make it a point to comment on Jesus Christ, the Bible, the teachings of the church, and to reject them openly. And we show this pattern that exists, rejecting the atonement of Christ, rejecting his sacrifice on the cross, denying his resurrection, saying that there really is no death, and repeating the ancient lie of the serpent from the Garden of Eden, which is why we begin the documentary with the creation story. And we just show the whole story of the creation and Adam and Eve and the fall of man through this lie of the serpent, that there is no death and that man can become his own God.
And you know, Chris, the older I become, the more convinced I am that the Bible is giving us an accurate account of what really happened. Because if you read the writings of the occultists, they all believe in the story of the Garden of Eden. The only trouble is that they think that the God that we worship was the bad guy. They believe that the angel of light, the serpent, was the good force, and that's, of course, why they worship the serpent. People say, that's crazy talk. Well, you read their writings, that may be crazy, but that's exactly what they believe. They worship the serpent because the serpent gives them freedom, allows us to become gods, and assures us we will never die. And you read their writings, and I know Chris has read them, and I have read them for many years, and there really are people in key positions, wealthy people, people of fabulous wealth, here working in America in key positions, who actually embrace that philosophy, as incredible as it may sound. If we don't understand the enemy, we certainly can't oppose him.
Yeah, it's true, and as you point out, and as Pastor Joe points out, in your interviews in Megiddo Part 2, the United Nations, this grand organization that so many people admire, has been so greatly influenced by these teachings. In fact, these teachings are at the very heart of what they represent.
And of course, the United Nations is to be the new world order, the one government, and of course there is to be a world leader, that will be the Antichrist. There will be a world spiritual leader, that will be the false prophets, and behind both of them, Satan, the satanic counterpart of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we'll have Satan, we'll have the Antichrist, we'll have the false prophet. It's amazing, everything's a mirror image of Christianity. Well, I guess this evening, Chris Pinto. Chris, you were going ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, we were talking about the influence of the Madame Blavatsky's Theosophical Society on the United Nations, which we try to show in Megiddo Part 2 on the New Age as being so significant because Madame Blavatsky, in her writings, very clearly embraces Lucifer, and she openly rejects the God of the Bible. She even quotes the occultist Eliphas Levi, You know, when Eliphas Levi is talking about how Satan is slanderously adorned with horns and claws, which he says would fit far better his implacable tormentor, meaning Jehovah, the God of the Bible. And so Blavatsky says in her writings that Jehovah is the real devil, and that Satan or Lucifer is the real God and the creator of spiritual mankind, who supposedly opened the eyes of Adam by exposing him to the tree of knowledge. And so it's this whole upside-down view of God and the devil, and this is what the New Age is about. And so it becomes so very significant that somebody like Madame Blavatsky and this Theosophical Society is the driving force behind and the chief influence behind the United Nations. And as you point out in a documentary, you've got chief members of the United Nations, the former Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations, who's a member of the Theosophical Society.
And, of course, the man who really controls Kofi Annan is Maurice Strong. He's Secretary General and Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. He's deeply involved in the occult. He's got a 200,000-acre little place up there in La Boca Grande in Colorado, where the occultists and the witch doctors and the shamans and the spiritualists and the Satanists and the Luciferians all get together. And what's so interesting, at least according to an article we have in West Magazine, who do you think goes there with him at times? Why, Henry Kissinger. Why, Robert McNamara, who sent our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die for 10 years in Vietnam, but we were never there to win the war. We were just there to kill as many people as we could. 1 million South Vietnamese died in that horrible war, and 2 million North Vietnamese died. We never talk about them. We lost 58,000 people, and we mourn for them. How about we should mourn for the 1 million South Vietnamese, the 2 million North Vietnamese? And thanks to Robert McNamara, who is deeply involved in the occult. He is certainly on the board of directors of the World Future Society, the Futurist magazine, and I get it every month, and of course they tell us what's going to happen, right along with Marie Strong and Barbara Marks Hubbard, who we'll talk about later this evening. And these people are all deeply involved in the occult. So why is Robert McNamara there? Why did he send our boys over to die in Vietnam and never try to win the war? Why did he send them over there when we were financing the Russians, we were financing the North Vietnamese, and their weapons were killing our boys? If you understand there's evil in the world, then it all begins to make sense. If you're looking at it logically, nothing makes sense. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I would agree with you there, Dr. Stan, and it's trying to figure out what the United Nations is about. Makes all the sense in the world when we look at the Theosophical Society, which openly professed itself to represent a universal brotherhood of man and this uniting of all the religions of the world, which we see happening through the ecumenical movement.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, I guess this evening Chris Pinto, and Chris is pointing out how there's a conscious effort to unite all of the religions of the world to the ecumenical movement. And, of course, this is part and parcel of this whole move, the New World Order, the New World Religion. And, of course, these people know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to unite all religions. You hear we all worship the same God, don't we? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's all that move. But we find it not only in the ecumenical movement, but we show it, we demonstrate it there in the at the United Nations, and how the United Nations is in their Millennium Summit is very actively campaigning for this this whole idea that there's only one God. And as Ted Turner says in the quote that we have, we show him there at the UN giving his speech, where he says that there's one God who just talked to different people in different ways, you know. And he actually speaks against the idea of, and I found this very interesting. We show it in this speech, and he actually says, he talks about his so-called Christian brothers, although I don't know that Christians would necessarily consider Ted Turner his brother, but he talks about his Christian fellows, and he says that they were intolerant, and he starts to say they were intolerant to other religions, and he says, no, they weren't intolerant to religious freedom for others. It's a very interesting quote. He says, but they thought that they were the only ones going to heaven. In other words, only the people who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and our salvation are the only ones going to heaven, just like the Bible says in Acts 4:12 and throughout the New Testament, and even the Old Testament as well. But Ted Turner adds that Christians are not oppressive, okay, in America especially, toward other religions. We're not out trying to persecute other religions. We don't want to have people arrested and thrown in prison and all this other kind of stuff. And so he admits that Christianity in America has granted a measure of liberty toward other religions in terms of government, unlike any other religion in the world, ever. So he admits to that, but he's especially offended at the fact that Christianity believes that only those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will be heaven. Rather than believe what the gospel says, he preaches this doctrine there at the United Nations about how there's only one God, and he's just working through all of these different religions, and all of the different religions are equally valid pathways to God.
And, of course, you even have Billy Graham saying, in essence, the exact same thing in an interview with Robert Shuler, that you don't have to believe in Christianity. You don't even have to know who is. But if you have a feeling in your heart you need something, you're going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven, is the essence of what he said.
Well, he says very specifically, and a lot of people, I remember we showed this at our church, and a lot of people were really stunned when they saw this this quote from Billy Graham, because Graham is preaching, I believe, he's preaching the universal Christ that's being preached throughout the New Age movement. And we set this up by showing the top New Age, or at least according to Marilyn Ferguson in her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, the top New Age teacher, which is this Jesuit priest named Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Teilhard de Chardin, of course, he died back in the 1950s, but he taught about this convergence of all the world religions coming together, and he also taught about this Christ figure who was the universal Christ that would satisfy all religions, that all religions would be united under this universal Christ. And then we show how the Pope, Pope John Paul II, is directly influenced by the teachings of Teilhard de Chardin, and that came to flower, as this one Catholic writer says, and there are many Catholics who do not believe in this doctrine, and we Catholics who stand against this doctrine. And he shows how Teilhard's teaching came to flower in the era of Vatican II, which is often believed to be the ecumenical council, where this new feeling or this new view of all the world religions was established for the purpose of gathering them all together. And Pope John Paul, the Teilhard de Chardin, and then we show how Robert Shuler flew to Rome to get the Pope's approval for building his Crystal Cathedral, and how Billy Graham is referring to the Pope, who's kissed the Quran, who has taken the mark of Shiva on his forehead, who allowed the Dalai Lama to set up the statue of Buddha at in a Catholic church, and yet he's allowing, in St. Peter's Cathedral, the Dalai Lama to come in with his Buddhist monks and to worship Buddha in what should be the house of God.
Hold that right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Chris Pinto. And, of course, we're saying some things this evening that may be offensive to people, but we have to put out the truth. I think that many of our good friends and supporters are Catholics who believe in the birth and the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is, of course, what Christianity in its essence is about. And we may argue over doctrine here, there, and elsewhere, but certainly when you see the leader of the Catholic Church pushing the ecumenical movement and embracing the Buddhists and the Dalai Lama and these other really religions, which I believe have their basis in Satanism, you wonder, what in heaven's name is going on? And when you actually see Billy Graham, and you'll actually see him on this film footage saying, you don't, in essence, have to be a Christian to go to heaven, just so long as you have a feeling in your heart that you need something, that you need something, you're going to go to heaven. My goodness, who in their heart doesn't need something? Every Satanist realizes he needs something, but he's not going to go to heaven. They're all searching. They're looking for the truth. They've just never found it.
Yeah, and Graham, the thing that really troubles me about Graham is in that quote is that he's talking about Christ, okay? And he's saying, you know, that as long as somebody loves Christ, and then he says, and he mentions, he says, you know, in the Buddhist world, in, you know, the Muslim world, you know, in the Hindu world, and he's mentioning these various world religions, and he says you might not, in the unbelieving world, you know, if they love Christ, and then he says, they may not even know the name of Jesus.
They may not even know the name of Jesus.
Well, if they don't know the name of Jesus, what Christ is it that they're supposed to be looking to? That's the question. And the only thing that seems to make sense, especially given Graham's very open and repeated endorsement of the Pope and, you know, his support of this ecumenical movement, seems to be that Graham is referring to this universal Christ that will unite all the religions of the world. And that's the part that I think is very troubling. And then, of course, Robert Shuller says, you know, I can't believe what you're saying, which is not surprising for Robert Shuller. And then he says, there's a wideness in God's mercy. And, of course, we quote the scripture where the Lord warns, you know, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction.
And narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to salvation, or to eternal life.
Amen.
And few will find it. And really, it's a beautifully done video. And then, of course, there's a scripture to meet and address all of these issues. And we'll be right back here with Chris Pethope. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking to Chris Pinto about his video, Megiddo 2. You'll want to get this video. You'll want to watch it several times. I've watched it through once, and I'm going to watch it through again, because there's some great interviews there. There's some wonderful footage. You get, of course, this realization that Adolf Hitler was deeply involved in the spiritual world, unless you understand that Adolf Hitler was a disciple of Madame Blavatsky, as was Margaret Sanger, as are many key people in the world in which we live today, people like Thomas Edison. I bet you have electric lights in your home, and yet Thomas Edison got his ideas by going into meditation and tapping into that other entity that's out there. And, of course, we find that Arthur Conan Doyle and so many of the people, William Stead, the founder of the original secret society that Cecil Rhodes created, all these people were involved in this occult satanic movement. And yet, of course, the average individual has never been told this, because there's an organized effort to conceal the truth about what's going on. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call. Our guest is Chris Pinto. His videos, Megiddo 1, which came out a year ago, and then a year later here in December, again, why Megiddo 2, this is 3 hours, truly gripping a narrative and beautifully displayed material. It's really an unforgettable experience. So basically you were talking about this ecumenical movement, which seems to be embraced by Billy Graham and by the Pope. Go ahead.
Yeah, Billy Graham, the Pope, Robert Shuller, of course, has been just a big supporter of this whole idea. And we talk about them, and we try to talk about them in a, you know, I definitely don't believe in trying to slander anybody or to draw wrongful conclusions. And so what we do is we simply quote. You know, we actually just let them talk, as you know, Dr. Stan. And then we compare what they're saying with the Word of God. But it becomes very significant when you see that in the you know, the major representations of the Christian faith upon planet Earth, you know, with Catholicism and then with Protestant evangelicism, you have these, you know, perhaps the top leaders all pointing towards this universal movement. it becomes very stunning to consider how many millions of people on the planet are affected and impacted by these men and look to them as an example of the Christian faith.
Amen to that. Well, right now we've got Roger calling from Henderson, Nevada. So let's go to Roger. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Doing just fine, Dr. Stan. I'd like to wish you and your guests there a very, very Merry Christmas, and also your whole staff at Radio Liberty a very, Merry Christmas,
well,
too.
Thank you so very much, and the same to you. And of course, yeah, this is not necessarily the time of year to be talking about this, and yet it is the time of year to talk about this, because we have to address that we're in a spiritual battle, and this is the force that's trying to destroy Christmas. They're doing everything they can, aren't they? They certainly, many of our stores, like Macy's, won't even allow their employees to say Merry Christmas. Oh no, it's got to be Happy Holidays. And they're doing everything within the media, within the television, within our motion pictures to destroy Christianity, because it's really as there's a conspiracy against God. Well, Roger, do you have a question for us?
No, I just wanted to make sure I could wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. I appreciate your newsletters, Dr. Stan, and just keep on getting the word out there, my friend. I'm telling you, you're doing a very, very good job.
Well, God bless you. Did you enjoy that last one about fluoride?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed that newsletter, and also listened to your program all last week when I was down in Laughlin, Nevada. And it was very, very interesting.
Oh, are you coming? Are you listening to us on shortwave or the Internet?
On the shortwave. Okay. I hear you loud and clear.
Great. Thanks so very much.
God bless you, Dr. Stan. And Merry Christmas one more time.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was Roger from Henderson calling in. Go ahead there, Chris.
Well, I was just talking about considering the incredible popularity of these leaders and how so many people look to them as an example of the Christian faith, and just that their influence is going in this universal direction. And it makes me consider what Jesus said when he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith upon the earth? Will there be the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints, spoken of in Jude? Will that be the faith? And I think we can really see we can see the shadows, but it seems like the shadows are getting stronger and stronger, what's being preached and what's being taught predominantly in what is called the church at the popular level is really not necessarily the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, thankfully, I think there are still very many ministers who do preach the gospel in a very straightforward manner and preach, you know, that salvation comes through faith in Christ alone. And so, you know, I don't want to slight them, and I'm very thankful for them. You know, when I come across preachers like Pastor Joe Schimmel, who's very adamant about the gospel and about teaching according to what is written in the Bible. But nevertheless, the popular form of Christianity that we're seeing at a global level seems to be going more and more in this direction of universalism, and in many ways seems to be leading the way into this one world religion that is prophesied in the Bible. And of course, many people believe that world religion is represented by the harlot, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, spoken of in Revelation chapter 17. And I think it's very interesting that she's called Mystery Babylon because the pagan religions of the world are based upon the ancient mystery religion. In fact, they all, you know, refer to them, like if you study Masonry and so on, Masonry is constantly referring to the mystery religions that all had their origins in ancient Babylon and came out from Babylon, spread out across the world. You can trace them through Egypt, Greece, Rome, and all of the pagan religions are based in various forms upon those principles.
And that's why, of course, on the back of the dollar bill, we have a pyramid capped by an all-seeing eye, and that is the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. And when you find Christian leaders and Christian organizations telling us that's a Christian symbol, they really they're terribly, terribly misinformed. Anybody who's ever studied the secret societies know that it's not only the symbol of Masonry and the Illuminati, but of the ancient mystery religions, and simply the Illuminati and Masonry were simply modern-day manifestations of those ancient mystery religions, but their ultimate goal, all of them have always had the same purpose and intent, the New World Order, the New World Religion.
Yeah. And in fact, we find, I think, one of the clearest examples of that back in, you know, it goes back for so many researchers back to the Tower of Babel, written of in the book of Genesis, when all the people were unified under one speech. And, of course, the symbol, the poster for the United States of Europe is the Tower of Babel. And they say the little logo there at the bottom says Europe, many tongues, one voice.
In fact, it's really so interesting. If you go to Strasbourg, and they have the United Nations building there, which is built as an incomplete Tower of Babel, and you'll actually see it as a replica of that poster that is used, the incomplete Tower of Babylon, and that is the way they built the building where the European Union holds at least part of its regular meetings. So they understand exactly what's going on. They just don't want the average American, certainly not the average Christian, to understand what's really going on. And they're keeping idle minds busy with all sorts of new movements and new theories and new doctrine that has nothing to do with the true struggle that is taking place in the world today.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of preoccupation, especially here in the West. You know, we've got professional sports and movies and television and, you know, all the various forms of entertainment and video games and so on. We have so many distractions. And it's just, I don't know, I find it a constant endeavor to try and keep my focus on the Lord, to remember the times that we live in, remember that the Bible speaks about the sons of Issachar who knew the times and who knew what Israel ought to do, and how this is a picture for us, and how the Lord compels all of us to keep watch and to pray always. And that phrase, keep watch, means to be on the alert, you know, to be paying attention to our surroundings, to take heed that no man deceive us by any means. As not only does Jesus say, but throughout the New Testament, we find that exhortation over and over and over again, and the warning that as time moves on, that deceivers would get worse and worse, and that they would deceive, and that they themselves would be deceived. And so I think we can see all of those things happening in our world today. That there are many people who are deceiving others, and that they themselves are quite often believing in a doctrine that is false. You know, they themselves are deceived, like Blavatsky, thinking that, you know, Satan is really God, and that God is the real devil. So we're seeing the, as you would say, Dr. Stan, as you said in a part of the interview that I recorded with you, we're seeing the ancient scriptures come to pass before our very eyes. And it's a fascinating thing. On the one hand, it's, you know, some people find it very troubling, and I think that if you're not putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, and it should be very troubling, you know, and you should be very concerned.
Okay, well, we've got Robert calling in from Santa Cruz. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Dr. Stan, I've listened to you for a long time, and I've respected you, but I'm Roman Catholic.
Right.
And you said some things tonight I'm really surprised at, sir. Our faith is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
And I
agree. There is no other leader of the Catholic Church.
You're absolutely right. And
the Holy Father is only the earthly representative and leader for the divine Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the things you said, it's like you're saying the Catholic Church is leading the world into a new world religion and all that?
No, Robert, I think that you're mistaking what I'm saying. I'm saying that I believe the Pope today has embraced this idea of the ecumenical movement, the one world religion, but I believe there are a lot of Catholics who are faithful to Jesus Christ, and unfortunately, when the leadership is going one way, it's very hard to go the other way, but I know an awful lot of Catholics who are dedicated to Jesus Christ. And I'm not certainly saying that all Catholics are dedicated to this idea of world government.
But, sir,
but some
though,
of them are, but there are some people within the upper echelons of the Catholic
Church.
Well,
yes, there's some bad people in every
right.
religion, but they're not in control. They're trying to get control. But the thing is this, the ecumenical movement is not really related to one world religion. The ecumenical is just accepting people as brothers and sisters. It's basically in Christian faith that we used to fear and even hate each other. We used to be every religion was every Christian religion was you know pointing fingers at the other and condemning them. Ecumenical is respecting and accepting what we share in common in the Christian faith without trying to identify our traditions with everybody else's.
Why don't you go ahead and answer that, Chris, because I think this is such a key point.
It is a key point.
Agree with Robert. It has to do with what we believe in the Christian faith, but can we agree with the people who worship a satanic god?
Of course not.
So that's just Chris's point.
But that isn't ecumenism.
Chris, Robert, let Chris answer.
Okay, go ahead.
The ecumenical movement that we refer to in our documentary is very specifically, it's the Pope and what the Pope did at Assisi in 1986, and I believe he repeated it in 2002.
Yeah.
Where the Pope gathers together. He's not gathering with various Christian leaders. He's gathering with witch doctors, with voodoo priests, with Hindus, with Muslims, Buddhists, people from who are clearly worshiping gods that the Bible says, that Paul says, the Apostle Paul says in the book of Corinthians, are demons. And he's joining hands with them.
So you're saying the Pope is fraternizing with demons?
That's what the Bible says.
No, he's fraternizing
the Bible
with people.
The Bible does not say that.
No, I'm sorry, Robert.
Far before the Holy Father came around.
Robert, what he is saying is that he is associating with people who are fraternizing with demons.
Well, you know, he might be meeting with them in a sense, but that doesn't mean he's saying that what. In other words, his only meeting to meet other people is to spread the Christian faith.
No, Robert, he joined hands with them in prayer, and he prayed for peace, and this is all quoted, it's all documented, and we show the footage in our documentary, and you can see it from a number of different sources. This is a matter of history.
Okay.
Robert, could I suggest maybe get the video, watch it, and see what you think, and then give us a call. How's that be?
Well, you know, I'll look into it myself, and into the information I can find in the church itself.
Okay, but
I can't really accept that is so.
Well, I know you can't.
That if it is so, you're misinterpreting it.
All right. Well, all I can say is the video footage doesn't lie.
Yeah.
And we have the video footage. In fact, we have a great deal more footage than in this. And we'd be glad to give me a call off the air and let me tell you where you can get the information and just check it out for yourself. Okay.
Well,
now, I'm not suggesting that there aren't a lot of Catholics or a lot better Christians than I am. But I'm saying we got real problems in the Protestant church, but you got real problems in the Catholic church.
Yeah, maybe so. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to look into this a great deal, and then I'll get back to you later, Dr. Sam, because I really don't accept this. In other words, I can't believe that this is what the Holy Father is doing.
Well,
the Holy Father has been such a great pope. I don't think that he's now trying to make a union of a religion in the world with demon worshippers and everything else. That's kind of ridiculous.
I know it is. Well, Robert, will you check it out?
Yes,
But give me a call off the air, and maybe we could even send you some video footage.
Okay,
I'll do that, sir. Would you?
All right.
God love you. And
let's
go to Jeanette, who's calling here. And Jeanette's one of our favorite Catholics from Watsonville. Hi, Jeanette. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I missed the first part of your program, Dr. Stan, but what your guest said about the Pope, I'm afraid, is true.
But you're a good Catholic.
I'm a traditional Catholic. I attend Latin masses, and I'm extremely upset.
But you still love the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you?
Oh, definitely. But a lot of people have lost their Catholic faith since Vatican II. And the Pope has allowed things to happen at the Vatican. He has allowed things to happen to Assisi. And now at Fatima, that's to be ecumenical, too. So this ecumenical, and they are bringing in pagans, they are bringing in Buddha. Catholic Family News is a wonderful source for Catholics to read, along with many others. I hear your music.
How could people get that, who are good Catholics?
Oh,
like to get
boy.
That
you know, they'd have to go. I don't have the address with me.
What is the name of it again?
Catholic Family News.
Catholic
probably
Family
get off
News.
The internet.
All right, Jeanette. Hey, we're going to have to take a break. You can call in the next hour if you'd like to. How's that?
I would, because I'm very upset with happening, and Richard or Robert, but he needs to do research.
He's a good man. He's just, you know, this is, it sounds so ridiculous. If somebody were to tell me that, somebody were to tell me the things that we say about the Protestant church, and I hadn't done the research, I'd be shocked, too.
Well, and they're not going to get the truth from the Catholic Observer. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have with us Chris Pinto, and of course we got Robert calling from Spokane. Let's get Robert on here. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. Hi,
do you have a question or comment?
Well, kind of both. I was wondering how Franklin Graham stood in all of this.
Do you have any thoughts on Franklin Graham, Chris?
You know, I've heard things from, I haven't heard a lot of his teaching and preaching. It's hard for me to believe because Franklin Graham, from what I understand, was just in rebellion for so many years. And then he was sort of the media painted him as the prodigal son who finally came home to the faith. And so it just seems like he would be chiefly influenced by the teachings and the example of his father. That seems to make sense. Generally speaking, I mean, when I hear Franklin Graham, and even when I hear Billy Graham's daughter preach on TV, quite often, much of what they say is just seems to be right in line with the gospel. Okay? But that's not always the case with Graham himself. In fact, Billy Graham came and he did a crusade here in California in Pasadena, here just back right around the Thanksgiving time, and he had a crusade there, and a couple of people from our church went to this crusade, and they saw it, and they came back, and they couldn't believe what they saw, because they said Graham came on, and he was on for about 15 minutes, and he said in that time, he looked out at the audience, and he said, God loves you, whoever you are, God loves you, and he just said, now, wherever you are, just get up, you know, okay, and I want you to come down, just come down. Now, there was no mention of the gospel. He didn't preach about Jesus. He didn't say you have to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He just said, get up and come on down. You may not even know why you're coming down, he said, but just come on down anyway. Even if you don't really understand what's happening, just come on down. And this was the altar call that he gave, and there were several girls and a few other people from our church who witnessed this, and of course their jaws were all on the floor. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. And I've read about this kind of thing before with Graham in a USA Today article years ago, and I even wondered when I read it, because they were writing about this kind of a conversion at one of his crusades, I wondered if USA Today was just leaving things out and they were maybe manipulating it.
We're going to have to take a quick break here, but I will say that a lot of people have actually come to know the Lord through a Billy Graham's crusades, so I really can't say anything at all about Franklin. I hope that he really loves the Lord. But thanks so much, Robert.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and this is the time when we really want to mention that we do carry Megiddo 1, Chris Pinto's the first video. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. We have Megiddo 2, that's 3 hours. Now, are either one of those available on DVD yet?
Part 1 is available on DVD. Part 2 is on VHS right now, and we've got the DVD coming in about a week.
All right, fine. But you're sending me, well, why don't you send me 10 or so of the DVDs? You're going to send me 20 of the regular ones, and send me 10 of the DVDs if you wouldn't mind.
I sure will, Dr. Stan.
As soon as you get them out, and could you send maybe along about 10 of the DVDs of Part 1? Because actually, more and more people are asking for DVDs rather than video, so we're going to have to start getting into that, I guess.
Okay, absolutely. We'll do it, Dr. Stan.
All right, thank you. And then, of course, we also carry Joe Schimmel's excellent video. First of all, we had its rock and roll sources of the New Age. But then his they sold their souls for rock and roll, the three-hour version, the four-hour version, the ten-hour version. And if you see these videos, they will transform your life. They really will. We have sold, I don't know how many of the, even of the 10-hour version, if you can believe that, people sitting down and watching these for 10 hours and then giving it to their children and their grandchildren and telling them they have to watch it. We're saving people from, really, I believe, a lot of these young people from being totally misled. Now, for Robert, who was calling from Santa Cruz a little earlier, we have something called Amazing Clips. And this has a great deal about some of these meetings, these international Catholic meetings. In fact, we even have something called the Sampler. And I think it's only about 15 minutes, but it got a good deal of footage on there about both the Protestant and the Catholic Church, and that leads up into the 3 hours of the Amazing Clips. But if Robert would be interested in getting that, just simply the Sampler, in 15 minutes he'll see things that will make him take a second look, not lose his faith at all, because, I mean, the one thing we don't want to have is anybody lose their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because pointing out what's going on is only an effort to keep people from truly being misled. We also have a wonderful four-tape set called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, who is a Jesuit priest, and we hope that every Catholic will want to hear that four-tape set. It's three interviews I did, and then the fourth interview that my friend John Leffler did. And Malachi Martin was a confidant of Pope John Paul XXIII and one other pope, and of course he talked about what really goes on and has gone in the church, and he talked about the homosexuality and the homosexual and pedophile cells, and this was back in the early, in the mid-1990s, so this long antedated the current scandals, and I talked to him off the air, and I said, are these things really taking place? He written a book called The Windswept House, in which he talked about a satanic ceremony taking place in the basement of the Vatican, corresponding with a true sacrifice. This was a feigned sacrifice in the basement of the Vatican, but it's corresponding with a true sacrifice taking place elsewhere. And he said, yes, it's true, but I can't write it as such, you know, and I can't use the names of any of these cardinals that we're talking about, but every person I talk about is real. There are terrible things that are going on in the world today. But this doesn't condemn, the Christian belief of Catholicism any more than we're condemning the Christian belief of the Protestant Church. We're simply pointing out that the wolves are working within the religions of our society. In fact, I think it was Pope Paul VI who talked about the smoke of Satan circulating over the Vatican. So there have been popes who've realized what was going on. In fact, John Paul I realized what was going on. That's why he only lived for a couple of months after he became the pope. This sort of thing really goes on in the world today, just like they poisoned the man who's running for the presidency of the Ukraine. He is seriously poisoned, was poisoned here quite recently. Why? Why are there people who kill people who get in the way? We're involved in a spiritual struggle for the souls of men. And for our listeners up in the Great Northwest, let me just wish you a wonderful and joyous Christmas, because the one thing that makes life really worth living is the knowledge of the birth of Jesus Christ. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us this evening our very special guest, Chris Pinto. And Chris, I met him just a little less than a year ago when he came up here, and we had him on the program, and actually he took some video pictures here in the house, and actually he's incorporated some of those in Megiddo 2, which we're going to be talking about this evening. 3 hours of gripping presentation, all of it excellent except for one short segment where I am interviewed, but you're going to hear David Hunt and Kara Matriciana and Kent Hovind talking about the evolution conspiracy, and it is a conspiracy to convince people that a lie is true, and of course goes into the background of this greatest of all frauds, and that was the Piltdown Man. In fact, most Americans really don't remember, but I do, because when I went to college, I learned about the missing link. Oh, they found the missing link. They found him 30 or 40 years ago. It was called the Piltdown Man. And this was the link between the apes and the human being. It's sort of a half ape, a half man. The only trouble was that all these brilliant scientists from all over the world spent 40 years believing in a hoax. I'm going to let you tell that story, Chris, because that is an amazing story. Most people haven't heard of it, and they don't really understand that one of the major culprits behind that was a Catholic priest, who, of course, was eventually forced out of the Catholic Church. And yet, of course, you have in your video a picture now that Teilhard de Chardin has been he's been sort of like born again and accepted by the Catholic priest, and you have a picture of the Pope with his picture demonstrating in sort of why don't you tell that incredible story?
Yeah, it is a very incredible story, but part two, Megiddo part two, is on the New Age movement, and probably the backbone, the heart of the New Age movement seems to be this doctrine of evolution. In Hinduism, evolution is represented in the doctrine of reincarnation, the idea that, you know, man is constantly being reincarnated, you know, as an apple and then as a carrot, as a mosquito and so on, or as a cow and then a man and so on. You keep coming back in all of these different incarnations. Well, Carol Matriciana explains that this is the basis for occultism and the idea of evolving upward and onward into godhood. So then we introduce how evolution began to be adopted as this scientific theory with Charles Darwin, and how they introduced the theory through Darwin, but they didn't have any physical evidence to support it. So often we hear that what they did was they started digging in the earth, and oh my gosh, they start finding these bones, and then they say, oh, look, evolution must be the answer to all of these things. But actually it was the reverse. They introduced the theory, and then they went looking for some kind of evidence to support it. And the first evidence that showed up was in the early 1900s, was this discovery that came to be known as the Piltdown Man. And it was engineered by this guy named Richard Dawson. And Dawson made the find, and he made it with another guy named Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who was a young Jesuit priest and paleontologist. And Dawson, the interesting thing was, Dawson made this discovery. It was this huge thing. They have, you know, we show, you know, an article, missing link found, you know, evolution proven to be true. And as a result of this discovery, scientists all over the world were declaring that now evolution was a scientific fact. you know, that they had the physical evidence that they needed. And Dawson died a short time later.
But what did they make the find? Do you recall?
Oh, I think it was 1916.
1916, because they were still teaching this when I was in school, you know, back in the 50s.
Yeah, it was up through the I think it was exposed in 1956. I think that's how it works. It was 40 years it spent, almost half a century, almost half of the 20th century was spent believing this as an irrefutable fact. And so Dawson, you know, but it's interesting. Years later, we show how I found an article from the BBC, and the BBC today refers to Charles Dawson as the Piltdown Faker, because Dawson not only discovered Piltdown Man, but he had all of these other archaeological discoveries, and 38 of them, 38 turned out to be hoaxes, things that were treated with chemicals. Things that were obviously manipulated by Dawson to make them look like they were much older than they were, to make it look like he had made some great find. He wanted to have his name and his reputation, you know, in like the British Science Society and so on, and be this, you know, great renowned man of science and archaeology and so on. And it seems that he went to great lengths to try and establish himself that way. His finds, most of them, were exposed as hoaxes, things that he, you know, created to give himself this reputation. And the man who worked with him was this Jesuit priest, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And so Dawson dies, and then Teilhard goes on and becomes this world-famous paleontologist. And Teilhard not only gets into the science of evolution, but he begins to develop evolution as a doctrine, as a religious doctrine, and he begins intertwining evolutionary teaching with Christianity, and really seeking to, and we have a number of quotes, and I can say that a number of the quotes that we have that speak against Teilhard and expose him, come from Catholics. They come from Catholic newsletters and so on, who are speaking out against this man and who are saying, look, he's actually changing the faith that's very clearly set down in the Bible. And that's what he set out to do. And so it was Teilhard who really introduced this idea, not only scientifically, because he would go on to make the Peking Man discovery, around the time of World War II. And in fact, that discovery was made in Peking, China, where they supposedly found all of these bones and whatnot, and they took pictures and they made notes and whatnot, but then supposedly it disappeared during the war and they didn't have any physical evidence. And of course, people are suspicious as to the find. You know, was this a legitimate find or was this a hoax concocted by Teilhard and his company to really try and push the theory of evolution?
Let me just we missed one of our breaks there, and so for our listeners, our guest is Chris Pinto. His video is Megiddo 2. Of course, we carry Megiddo 1, but we're talking about Megiddo 2 tonight, and we're talking about Teilhard de Chardin, who is a Jesuit priest, a paleontologist, who participated in the Piltdown, a fake. And of course, then the Teilhard, you know, began, of course, preaching this almost mystical type of religion. He was eventually excommunicated from the Catholic Church, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was declared an apostate by the Vatican, and his books, he wrote many, many books and writings. His books were initially banned, and would not allow him to publish his writings. And then 26 years after his death, as Dave Hunt quotes in The Seduction of Christianity, he was received again into the good graces of Rome. I also wanted to say, Dr. Stan, that the Piltdown discovery was 1912, just to get the date right.
All right, 1912, and then about 1956 it was found out to be a fake?
Right.
All right.
Wait a minute, it was 1953 it was a fake.
All right, fine. So it's from 1912 to 1953, 41 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And the 1916 date, that's the year Dawson died.
All right, fine. So I think it's so important that our listeners understand that the entire scientific world was deceived because they wanted to believe in evolution, and so they believed a lie. And then, of course, when the Peltown Man was found to be a fake, they accepted that, but they still embraced the evolution because they knew there had to be missing links out there. The only trouble is there aren't any missing links. They've never found a missing link, and without a missing link, why, of course, the theory is totally fraudulent.
Yeah, and we talk about it. The thing that is so interesting to me about Piltdown is that it was used as this conditioning process on Western society, both scientifically and religiously, which is really the direction that it goes. And many people today, like Dr. Kent Hovind, who appears in Megiddo 2, expose that evolution is really a religion. It's not a science. There's nothing scientific about it. And we have, you know, a number of quotes from world-renowned scientists like Sir Fred Hoyle, who coined the phrase the Big Bang. And, you know, he was actually making fun of Darwin's theory, that it was a ridiculous theory, and that the scientific community had been bamboozled into believing it. When there's really no scientific evidence to support it whatsoever. And I think this is so significant. We're seeing in the news even today, the ACLU is coming out with a lawsuit against this school who wants to teach intelligent design, you know, to show that there is an intelligent design to the creation, and it could not. It's just scientifically impossible that it happened by chance or through some explosion. Or something, or anything suggested in the evolutionary theory. And we quote Charles Darwin. Darwin, who said that if it could be proved that there were any complex cell structures that could not possibly have come about through slight successive modifications, he says, my theory would fall flat. So Darwin himself admitted that if that could be proven, which has been abundantly proven, by scientists like biochemist Michael J. Behe in his book Darwin's Black Box that we quote from. And this is a biochemist not necessarily pushing creationism, just a scientist who's evaluating the facts, and he's saying this is scientifically impossible. It just couldn't have happened that way.
In other words, there had to be a creation, there had to be a designer, because everything's in just too perfect order and it's too complex to happen just by chance.
Exactly. I think the quote that I like best is when Sir Fred Hoyle says that suggesting that the cell structure came about like chance, by chance, is like suggesting that a tornado could sweep through a junkyard filled with airplane parts and turn out a Boeing 747. It just couldn't happen. You know, when you see a Boeing 747 or you see an automobile or a house or anything, you know that there is a designer, that somebody put this thing together, it has a function, and so on. And from what scientists are saying, the makeup of life, the makeup, the engineering of cell structures is far more complex than anything that we've ever created. Stephen Hawking at the Millennial Summit 2000 with Bill and Hillary Clinton, I even saw this when it happened, and I quote it in the documentary. He said that our most advanced computers are less complex than the brain of an earthworm, that even an earthworm has a much more complex structure to its brain than the most advanced computers we have created. That's a pretty humbling fact of science. You know, these are top scientists. They're not necessarily trying to prove the Bible, but they care. They have integrity about the idea of science, which is knowledge that's been tested and proven. And the evolution theory simply doesn't measure up. But they very deceptively, as Carol Matriciana in the video points out, they very deceptively begun to call evolution a science, or not begun, they've been doing it, calling it a science, and they argue that creationism is religion. So they pulled creationism out of our schools, and they've inserted this Hindu pagan doctrine of evolution, and now, you know, all of the children in America are pretty much forced to learn this as being scientific fact. It's a lie that's propagated by Hollywood through films like Jurassic Park and a host of specials, and I mean, if you turn on the Discovery Channel or any of, you know, National Geographic and so on, they're always saying, you know, well, billions of years ago, this and that happened, or, you know, how did the shark survive for the last 10 million years, and so on. Things that are simply not scientifically provable are being presented as absolute fact.
But it doesn't matter how ridiculous it is, if you say it often enough, people will believe. So anyway, of course, you go into Teilhard de Chardin, and then, of course, the profound impact he had on even on modern Catholic thinking after he had been sort of rejuvenated or once again accepted within the confines of the Catholic
right.
Church after
right.
after having been excommunicated because he was a heretic. And that's what's so amazing.
Yeah, initially he was. He was rejected as, I think, as an apostate was the official you know, having rejected the faith, and I mean, but he was definitely a heretic. But then he became this heroic figure, you know, like the I guess a false martyr, I would argue, to many young priests and theologians. Not only Catholics, though, but according to the research, many Protestant leaders as well. Many, you know, professing Protestant Bible believing Christians saw this man as a great, you know, example and teacher and so on. And we show how Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, that is referred to as the Handbook of the New Age Movement. I mean, this is like a huge book back in the 1980s in the Shirley MacLaine era. This book, she sent out, Marilyn Ferguson, she sent out all these letters to like 185 different leaders of the New Age Movement and asked them a series of questions. Well, she revealed, Dave Hunt and Tom McMahon in their book, The Seduction of Christianity, they show how she revealed in an interview that out of these 185 leaders, when she asked each of them who was the most influential person in their lives, the name that came up more often than any other was Teilhard de Chardin. And I believe, and he became known as the father of the New Age. And it's because when you teach evolution, now you're denying the creation story. Now there's no Adam and Eve, and there's no original sin. And that was Teilhard's point. Teilhard said directly, there was definitely no Adam and Eve and no original sin. And he actually spoke vehemently against the idea of original sin and how it binds us to this old thinking, Christianity. Okay, and it actually hinders this evolutionary religion that he was trying to establish. Okay, and he argued that evolution was now a hypothesis to which all other knowledge, all other theories, everything must now bow to this idea of evolution. And what evolution does is it removes original sin, and so it removes the judgment of God, God's condemnation of sin. And so the fear of the Lord is removed, and then beyond that, it becomes a do-whatever-you-want-to-do kind of society. It's interesting, but Pastor Joe Schimmel refers to Aleister Crowley as the father of the modern New Age movement. And when I look at these two guys together, I often think that K.R., sort of with evolution, he removed that fear of the Lord that the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom, but what he did was he opened the door and made somebody like Aleister Crowley more abundantly possible for that 1960s generation that just began to explode with his teachings, something that we reveal later on in the video. And so these guys working together, I mean, evolution really opens the door to Satan because it removes the accountability, that fear of God, that fear of judgment that compels men to turn from sin and to seek the Lord and his righteousness.
Well, our guest this evening is Chris Pinto. We're talking about his video, Megiddo 2, and I will tell you it's a gripping three-hour film with all sorts of footage in it that you're never going to see elsewhere, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that in just a minute when we get back here at Radio Liberty, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, Chris Pinto, the video, Megiddo 2. Now, we've talked about Megiddo 1 before. We carry that, but we also have Megiddo 2. And, of course, fascinating insight into the incredible things that are taking place today and the spiritual forces at work within our society. We've talked about Teilhard de Chardin, the fact that he was rehabilitated back into the Catholic Church after having been forced out. And here he is, many Catholic priests and Protestants as well look upon him as a great philosopher. And yet, of course, he was not preaching Christianity. He was preaching the New Age. And you were commenting there about Aleister Crowley. Would you like to tell a little bit about him? Because he is so pivotal to an understanding of everything going on in America today, even though he's been dead for almost half a century.
Yeah, Crowley was... Crowley is... we have Pastor Joe, who I think has done such a marvelous in-depth study on Crowley. And we show that Crowley held a lot of the New Age beliefs that that New Agers believe. He definitely believed, in the lie of the serpent, which we find throughout the New Age movement, the glorification of the serpent and the initiation into this secret knowledge. And Crowley was behind all of that. But now Crowley, he got deep into Satanism. And whereas a lot of the New Agers are speaking about, the light and, goodness and this kind of thing and turning things upside down, Crowley, while he espoused a lot of those beliefs, got deep into black magic, and he taught black magic, and affected a lot of the counterculture leaders of the 1960s. Pastor Joe refers to him as the patron saint of rock musicians, and he shows in his 10-hour documentary, and we give an overview of it, in Megiddo Part 2, shows how Crowley has influenced everybody from the Beatles to the Rolling Stones to the Doors to Led Zeppelin, and how these people and their music has been dedicated to Crowley's Satanism.
Now, of course, for our listeners out there who don't know rock music, these are all rock music bands.
Yeah, these are all rock music bands. These are the most popular rock music bands through the 60s and 70s, and even today. I mean, the Rolling Stones to this day is one of the most popular bands ever. I mean, if they showed up in concert anywhere, it would probably be a sellout concert to this day. And of course, everybody knows the influence of, or I would say most everybody knows the influence of the Beatles and John Lennon, who admitted in the Playboy interview in 1980 that the whole Beatles idea was based on Crowley's "Do What Thou Wilt" philosophy. And "Do What Thou Wilt" was something that Crowley had received from, which he openly admitted in his Book of the Law, which was written in, I think, 1904. And it was channeled to him by a demonic spirit he called Iwas. And this demonic spirit quoted him this chief axiom, which was, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." And we show how this is actually, it obviously comes from Satan, because it seems to be in direct contrast to Jesus' confession in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed to God the Father, and he said, "Father, not as I will, but as you will, as thou wilt."
Hold that thought there for just a moment, and we'll be right back there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, this evening is Chris Pinto. We're talking about his video, Megiddo 2. We're talking about the fact that, that so many of our modern rock music groups, whether it be the Beach Boys or whether it be the Rolling Stones, it would be the Beatles or whether it be Led Zeppelin, they were all Crowley, I'd say, were all disciples of Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. And, in fact, this is just a little off the subject, but I saw the most fascinating interview on 60 Minutes with Bob Dylan. It was about 2 weeks ago, and I set away to get the transcripts because I wanted to be sure that I understood what he was really saying. And what he was saying was that, when he was very young, he would get these words for his songs coming to him, these very complicated wordings, and he didn't know where the words came from. They just sort of came to him. out of nowhere. He can't do that anymore, but when he was young, he had all of these words given to him because he'd made a bargain. And then, of course, he goes through this description. You ever know such a miserable-looking guy as Bob Dylan? And finally, the interviewer on 60 Minutes says, well, why are you still on tour here now? You know, you've been successful. You've made a lot of money. Why are you still on tour? He says, I have to. I made a bargain. And the fellow says, well, who did you make the bargain with? He said, the fellow who runs things. The fellow who's in charge here on Earth. The fellow from another dimension. Well, you know very well who he was talking about. He certainly wasn't talking about the God of the Bible. He'd made a bargain. He'd lived it. He'd gotten everything he ever wanted. But he was in touch with his being from another dimension. Who was he talking about? He was talking about Lucifer. He didn't name it as such. But once you understand that these people have their lyrics, their music channeled to them, they sold their souls to the devil, and Bob Dylan can't stop. He's made a deal. He has to keep going. Because he made a deal with the boss, the fellow who runs things, the being from the other dimension. That's right there in the transcript. It's magnificent to read it. There's no question what this is all about. And yet I would say that probably not one in 100 people who saw that interview had any idea what Bob Dylan was really saying.
Yeah, the Bible refers to Satan as, Jesus calls him the prince or ruler of this world. You know, and he's called the God of this world. It's interesting that Bob Dylan refers to him as, you know, the guy who's running things. Based on Bob Dylan's music, it's obvious that he's not singing for, you know, God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he must be singing for somebody else. So many of these guys, it's incredible that they openly admit over and over and over again that's exactly what they did, that they basically gave themselves over to Satan for money and wealth and power. There's even a song from Ozzy Osbourne where he's singing about, you know,
Mr. Crowley, right.
Yeah, well, he sings about Mr. Crowley, absolutely, and talks about how Crowley fooled all the people with magic, and he says, yeah, you waited on Satan's call. Which is pretty wicked. I mean, Crowley was called the wickedest man in the world by the London newspapers. I mean, that's documented information. He's a very controversial figure because of his bizarre satanic rituals at the Abbey Thelema in Sicily, where he performed, just the most ungodly sexual and violent acts, whether it's with children, with animals, with women. He brutalized people. He had hired a young man, a guy named Raoul Loveday, and his wife to come there as some kind of assistant for him. And once they didn't know what they were getting into, apparently, at least according to the transcripts that I've read. They weren't aware of what they were getting into, but then when they got there and they thought, well, we're going to work for this wealthy businessman, because Crowley at this point had a lot of money, then they find out that this guy is deeply involved in Satanism and the occult and rituals and all of this kind of thing. And this guy, Raoul Loveday, was forced to drink cat's blood in some satanic ceremony, and it turned out to be poisoned cat's blood, so he fell ill and died. And his wife, who refused to take part in these rituals, ends up fleeing and going back to London and reports the whole story. And we even show a news article from the London Times referring to Crowley as the Beast, because he loved to call himself to Megatherion, the great beast, 666, the enemy of Christianity, and fancied himself as the Beast of the Apocalypse written of in the Book of Revelation.
And as we've told the story, he had a home there on Loch Ness, and he was known affectionately by his neighbors and friends as the other Loch Ness Monster. We'll be back. This is true. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty and with our special guest, Chris Pinto. This is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening, Chris Pinto. And of course, if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let's pick up the story from there, Chris.
Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to mention, Dr. Stan, we were talking earlier about evolution and the impact of evolution, how it opened the door, really, to just darker and darker degrees of Satanism and Lucifer worship. And, you know, in the 1960s, of course, when evolution really took off in our public school system, and then they began to diminish Christianity with the removal of prayer, and we talk about this through or with Dr. Kent Hovind. We had all of these moral indicators, things exploding, you know, the level of sexually transmitted diseases went forward, and so on. And Dr. Hovind talks about the impact of evolution there, and we talk about the impact of evolution in terms of changing American law. Many people don't realize that evolutionary theory brought about a system of law known as the case law method in America that has led to all of these controversial court cases that we find going on in the Supreme Court and so on. It led to things like Roe versus Wade, the endorsement of or the legalization of abortion, and also the removal of prayer from public schools. And it was based upon this evolutionary case law method that a guy named Christopher Columbus Langdell developed, because he was deeply into Darwin's theory of evolution. He was a Harvard professor who developed this system of thought, which basically stated that because man had evolved, that man's laws should also evolve. Now, in the Bible, God makes it very clear that his laws don't evolve. You know, God says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Jesus said it was, you know, easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one jot or tittle of the law to fail. And that while heaven and earth would pass, the Lord says, my word shall not pass away. But Langdell did not agree with that, and eventually the American legal system did not agree with that. And the reason this is so significant, I believe, for Americans is because it was this kind of evolutionary thinking that was occurring in Nazi Germany. It was the evolution theory that compelled Hitler to have this list of undesirables, people that he believed...
Hold that thought right there. This is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Chris Pinto. We're talking about his video, Megiddo 2, and he's talking about, of course, his evolutionary theory, the thing that that man is changing, society is changing, our laws should change. And, of course, he was just beginning to talk a little bit about Adolf Hitler and his views. Pick that story up from there. Incidentally, we will welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Pick it up from there, Chris.
Well, I was talking about Hitler and how Hitler believed in Darwin's theory of evolution, and he actually, we show a Nazi propaganda film from World War II, where at the beginning of the film, they actually make reference to Darwin's theory. The full title of Darwin's book, and we explain this in the documentary, is Origin of the Species. That's the part that we normally hear. But it's Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. That's the full title of Darwin's book. And so, of course, the question comes about, well, wait a minute, what does he mean by favored races? And what does he mean by natural selection? Well, the Nazis got hold of that theory, as a number of others have historically, and they, in this propaganda film, are showing how all things in nature have an order and whatnot. It says, we humans, they say at the beginning of this documentary, have ignored the laws of natural selection. And the result has been, this Nazi documentary goes on to say, that we've started to produce all of these mentally and physically deficient people in society. You know, people who are, you know, mentally retarded, or they have physical birth defects and so on. And that if we don't do something, you know, about these genetically inferior people that just keep multiplying year after year, well, you know, our pure Aryan race is going to be overrun. We're going to be ruined. So their solution, obviously, was to build concentration camps to sterilize people, not allow them to reproduce, and just begin mass murdering people. As I know you've pointed out, Dr. Stan, we often hear about the 6 million Jews who were, again, they weren't being eliminated because Hitler hated Jews. Hitler saw Jews like rats. He thought they were like so many vermin. You know, like if you had a mouse hiding out in your house, and, well, of course, you'd get rid of it. That's how Hitler looked at the Jewish people, that they were simply genetically inferior, and that through his process of natural selection, he would purify the German race, or the Aryan race, rather, and then make way for this race of supermen, you know, who could then rule the world once they got rid of all the undesirables. And that's what Hitler's Nazi movement and his mass murder movement was all about.
And that's why they had the breeding. That's why they would get the women to, you didn't have to be married. You could just, as long as there were children, and you bore them, of course, to somebody who had blonde hair and blue eyes. And it was this idea of trying to breed the super race that was so prevalent within the German society at that time. People don't understand that they killed 12 million others besides the Jews, and they were predominantly Christians, real troublemakers. Some of them were gypsies. Many of them had mental defects or birth defects. Anybody who was genetically inferior. But there were 12 million others. We never talk about that. And you have to ask yourself, why?
Yeah, it's true. It's just amazing to me that there was such a clinical and very cold perspective on all of this, and it seems very clearly the result of this evolutionary theory. And Dr. Hovind makes a very good point. How do you establish right from wrong if evolution is true? And we point out in the documentary that the founding fathers based the Declaration of Independence and the rights of Americans on the authority of God. That's why they declared, you know, we esteem these things, you know, these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator, God, with certain rights, certain unalienable rights, certain rights you can't get rid of. And that's based upon God's authority. And even Thomas Jefferson, in his famous quote, you know, when he says, "I tremble when I consider that God is just, and that his justice cannot sleep forever." Jefferson is not necessarily my favorite Christian because of what he did with the Jefferson Bible. Nevertheless, he did argue that the rights and liberties of the American people were based upon the authority of God. He said that directly, and that they should not be transgressed but by incurring the wrath of God. Words to this effect. I know that I'm paraphrasing a bit. But if you remove God from the equation, you know, the question is asked, what authority are you going to use to defend the rights of men? The authority really just becomes in the hands, the opinion of whoever it is that becomes in charge of a government from one moment to the next. And if you enter something in, as has been entered into American society, an element like evolutionary law, where things will just evolve based upon, you know, whatever society deems to be fit at a particular time, that can really open the door to things like genocide and mass murder. And when you consider that in conjunction with all of these warnings that we have about this New World Order, about what prophecy says, about this kingdom of Antichrist and this world leader who's going to insist that everybody bow down and worship him or be wiped out. And then all of these threatening quotes from New Agers who are talking about the defective seeds, those who won't go along with the new thought, the new paradigm, the new understanding, and that as man evolves into godhood, he's going to have to get rid of all the undesirables. When you compare this with what Hitler was teaching and doing, it becomes very clear that the same spirits that were empowering Hitler and his mass murder machine are the same spirits that are behind this New Age movement. and they are pushing the same agenda that they have been pushing for centuries.
You've got some great footage there. You've got some footage there in your video about the Georgia Guidestones, where they talk about, well, this isn't a cult center. Why don't you tell them what the significance of the Georgia Guidestones is and why this is really so important to everybody out there in the listening audience?
Well, the Georgia Guidestones are a very mysterious monument that a lot, I mean, most people that I've talked about, even really, really good researchers, Dr. Stan, some of whom have never heard of the Georgia Guidestones, but they're outside of Elberton, Georgia, or they're in the town of Elberton, Georgia. Years ago, well, you actually tell the story in the documentary, years ago, a guy came to Elberton, Georgia. He was a mysterious stranger who called himself R.C. Christian, which he admitted openly was a pseudonym, and he represented some secret group that he would not reveal, and somehow or other came in with a lot of money, and he wanted this great granite monument to be built. Well, Elberton is, it's called the granite capital of the world, and they mine granite there, and they do all of these different types of monuments and so on from granite. But to me, the really interesting thing about Elberton, when you consider, you know, this guy had so much money, he could have gone anywhere, but he chooses to go to Elberton, which is this town that exports tombstones, and that's like their chief business. They export some 250,000 tombstones every year. Okay, so it's a town that in a sense sort of makes a living through death. And here it is that he decides that he wants to build this great monument that's aligned with the stars and, you know, has these different astrological-looking dimensions to it, and it looks like the Stonehenge from England, and in fact it's called the American Stonehenge, or as you point out, it's the Georgia Guidestones. And he has scrawled on the explanation stone there on the front, is let these be guidestones to an age of reason. And and as you point out, it's written in, I think, is it eight different languages, Dr. Stan?
Well, the capstone is written in the classic Greek, in the Babylonian cuneiform, in hieroglyphics, in sandstone, and that's the one that said, let these be guidestones to the age of reason. And then the four great granite slabs have in eight different languages. And as I recall, it's English and Russian, Spanish and Swahili, Hindu and Hebrew, or I think it's Russian and one other language. These ten laws which come from the dark side, they come basically from the occult. And point number one is maintain the world population at 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Maintain the world in constant at 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Well, that sounds pretty good until you realize we got over 6 billion people in the world. So they're really talking about the plan is to do away with 90% of the world's population. That's a rather frightening thing to contemplate.
Yeah. I went up there with, because we show in the documentary, I had to go. You know, my family lives about 5 hours south of Elberton. And so I flew back east to spend some time with them, and my older sister Renee and I, we jumped in her car and we drove up to Elberton with my video camera, and I shot some footage of these things. Now, my sister's been learning about all this stuff, you know, more and more as I've, you know, talked to her about it, but she could not believe that this monument actually existed. And she walked up there and she saw it and she could not believe it was there. And she read that first commandment about 500 million people, and she said, I can't believe somebody hasn't knocked this down. I can't believe, you know, somebody hasn't, you know, brought a truck up here and just smashed this thing because of what it seems to represent. And as you mentioned I think you mentioned in the interview that they had one pastor up there who spoke out against these things. But he's not a pastor there any longer.
No, actually, this is a satanic center. They have satanic meetings there. They've had UFOs hovering over this site. Their witches hold their meetings there. And you know, but the average American has never heard of the Georgia Guidestones. Of course not. They don't want you to know about the occult organizations that are there, that are very real. And, of course, the whole idea, let these be capstones to the Age of Reason. Age of Reason was written by Thomas Paine. This all ties into Thomas Paine, who, of course, was there at the time of the American Revolution, wrote Common Sense. But Thomas Paine was a revolutionary. He was part of the occult movement that was bringing about the world revolution. He was a contemporary of a man named Thomas Malthus. And, of course, Thomas Malthus is very, very famous because he talked about how we had to limit the population, allow plagues, build our cities next to stagnant ponds, encourage the return of the plague, and discourage anybody who wanted to stop it. And, of course, if you read Malthus, he says, you know, a lot of people say that we never want to educate the underclass, but I want to educate them so they can read Thomas Paine. So then you begin to see how all of the little parts of the puzzle begin to fit together. And there's a book, actually, in the local library there in Elberton, written by the man who calls himself R.C. Christian, and he tells you this is all about Thomas Paine. That's what this whole monument is dedicated to, with the ideas of Thomas Paine, who was an occultist who was instrumental in the American Revolution. And then he went over and was instrumental in the French Revolution, part of this world revolutionary movement that swept certainly the civil Western Europe and America back there in the 18th century.
And for those who are listening, I want to say now you can understand why I wanted to interview Dr. Stan in particular on the Georgia Guidestones. And you give a great interview, Dr. Stan. You really, really do.
Well, I don't know about that. I was flattered to be in anything with Dave Hunt and Carol Matriciana and Kent Hovind. We've got Greg calling from Missouri. Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just fine. Does your guest have a website or a phone number?
Do you have a website or a phone number?
Oh, we do. We have a toll-free number, which is 888-780-5049. If you want to call us and talk about any of the things that we talked about tonight. And then our web address is www.adullamfilms, and it's A-D-U. LLAMFILMS.org. It's adullamfilms.org. And the name Adullam comes, for those who are wondering, from 1 Samuel chapter 22, and it's the name of the cave that King David fled to when he was being persecuted by King Saul. And all the outcasts of Israel gathered around him there. And that's the name of our company, Adullam Films.
All right, one more time for the phone number.
Oh, it's 888-780-5049.
Did you get that, Greg?
I got a tape recorder.
Okay,
going.
Fine. Anything else you'd like?
How does this affect the brain as far as putting lesions on, and how does it affect the thyroid system?
Now, wait a minute. I wonder if you're listening to the same program. You're talking about fluoride?
Yes.
Oh, I think you're listening to the wrong program. Okay, thanks so much, Greg.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that's my latest newsletter, and we've done a lot of programs on that. But maybe they're playing another program that where he's listening to there in Missouri. Anyway, of course, we're talking about the video entitled Megiddo 2, and of course, you have to understand that Adolf Hitler was a disciple of this whole New Age movement. He was a disciple of Madame Blavatsky's, as was Margaret Sanger, as are so many people in the world today. And one of the people you quote is certainly one of my favorite villains. Her name is Barbara Marks Hubbard. She ran for the vice president nomination of the Democratic Party in 1984. She's one of the wealthiest women in the world. Who is Barbara Marks Hubbard, and why is she so important?
Well, like you said, she is one of the wealthiest women in the world, and she's apparently, according to John Ankerberg and John Weldon, she has a lot of influence behind the scenes with leading politicians, and we quote from their research just to give people kind of a profile on Barbara Marks Hubbard. But she probably has some of the most, threatening and exhaustive quotes that are these chilling New Age quotes about basically wiping out the Christians and the undesirables from planet Earth to make way for this new God race, you know, that's going to come about as a result of the New Age movement.
And, of course, you really want to get the video. It's called Megiddo 2, and you'll see the quotations from Barbara Marx Hubbard. We actually have these quotations from the original manuscript of her book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, when it was published, and who do you think financed it? Why, the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. Isn't that interesting? Why would Lawrence Rockefeller be financing something like that? Well, why would Stephen Rockefeller be working so closely with Marie Strong and Mikhail Gorbachev, both deeply involved in the occult? We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening is Chris Pinto. His book, his video, I should say, is Megiddo 2, and it's a must-watching because it really brings you right up to what's going on today. And these, why don't you talk a little bit more about these wonderful quotations that you have there from Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of the wealthiest, most powerful women in the world, worked as a consultant for our government. What does she talk about?
Well, she talks about really the mass murder of the what she calls the defective seeds who are not willing to go forward and progress in this evolutionary New Age journey into self-created godhood. And she's been in touch with spirit beings for a number of years, and it's these spirit beings that are telling her that there is a selection process that's going to take place. And she says things like, you know, in the past, the defective seeds were allowed to die a natural death. But now the elders have been patiently waiting, you know, for the quantum shift to take place so that they can cut out this defective, you know, these defective members from the body of humanity. And she goes on to say things like, well, her spirit beings tell her. They say, you know, you're not in charge of this selective process. We are. And they go on to say, we are the riders of the pale horse, death, you know, and that they are the ones who are in charge of God's selection process. And, of course, all of this is coming to her, she admits, from the spirit realm, from these higher intelligences that are speaking to her and through her. But we try to show in the ghetto it's not just one person that this is happening. This is happening through other New Age channelers like the late Ruth Montgomery, who was called the Herald of the New Age, had similar quotes. Other New Agers, New Age organizations that have had quotes where they're describing how there's this beautiful era of peace and love and happiness that's coming, but those who hinder that era are going to be removed, they're going to be liquidated, they're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. And all of this fits in with the declarations of somebody like Aleister Crowley, and these rock musicians that are like Ozzy Osbourne in his song, Mr. Crowley, where he's singing about this time that is drastic, where some will be standing with their backs to the wall. And, of course, that's a phrase that many of us believe denotes the mass murder or the execution, you know, an execution style, you know, standing with your back to the wall murder of somebody. And we point out, we really try to compel the audience and get them to consider, because some people might...
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're finishing up with our program with Chris Pinto. Chris, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, just to remind people that, you know, a lot of the things that we've talked about in terms of the more chilling aspects of this New Age movement, that we're not talking about the Dark Ages, to remind people that the 20th century was perhaps the bloodiest in man's history, and that as Christians we should be equipping ourselves with a mind to suffer and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God in these very trying times, and trusting in Him and attempting to discern what He would have us do with all of this information. Which is really the purpose of the Megiddo series as a whole, really hopefully to compel people to turn their heart toward the Lord, to receive His salvation, and to be soldiers for His cause and for His glory.
Well, thank you very much for what you're doing. You did a great job, and we'll look forward to getting you onto our Saturday program. I'll be calling you very shortly. Thanks so very much for being with us, Chris.
All right, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And have a wonderful Christmas. And this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, this is the time I just want to remind all of our listeners that they're doing everything they're doing possible to destroy Christmas for us. They've taken, the programs dealing with the birth of our Savior and his resurrection. They've taken them off of television. There are no movies coming out for that. Macy's department store says you can't refer to Merry Christmas. You have to say Happy Holidays. And gradually they're changing the language. You can't have nativity scenes any place on public land. You can't sing Christmas carols in schools anymore. You see, there's an effort to destroy Christianity. When you understand the demonic force behind it, the satanic forces, their organizations here, dedicated to the destruction of Christianity, then this all begins to make sense. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the average person to know what they're doing. Well, I just want to mention that we carry Megiddo Part 1, we carry Megiddo Part 2, we carry Joe Simmel's wonderful videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. We hope you want to get them. We also, of course, we carry the Big Berkey products, or the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light products. If you were interested in getting those to us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then I just wanted to spend the last minute or so talking about what Christmas is, because Christmas is a time of hope. Christmas is a time of joy, and we should never allow the wicked people, the enemies of Christianity, to triumph. They will only triumph, we will only forget about Christianity if we allow them to manipulate us. We have to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord at all time. To understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, there are people who hate Christianity, there are people who hate Christians. They are in positions of control in our courts. They're in positions of control in the great tax exempt foundations. They're working with the corporate structure. They're working within government. They're working within the media. But, of course, we have righteousness on our side. And we have the knowledge that the biblical story is true, that Christ was born to a virgin in Bethlehem about a little over 2,000 years ago. And Christ is the hope of mankind. He never traveled outside the Holy Land. He never wrote a book. He never read an army, led an army. He was an itinerant. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a home. He never married. He never had any children. And yet, of course, in the short 30 years or so, 33 years that he lived, why, he had more of an impact on the history of the world than any general, than any philosopher, than any teacher. In fact, more influence than all the generals and all the philosophers and all the teachers in all history. You see, Jesus Christ was the Son of God who came to earth for our salvation, to pay the price for our sin. And if we keep our mind fixed on that and understand that this is a real story, it's not imaginary, it is the hope of the world. So until, well, we won't be with you tomorrow, we'll be with you again on Monday. So have a wonderful and joyous Christmas, and we'll see you on Monday, and may the Lord be with you.